We're doing in Yaakov, we're on page Lamed Aleph in the standard editions, the end of page Samech Gimel. So we had learned that the Kohen Gadol wore on his forehead the tzitz, which was a piece of gold that went like a, what do you call that? That people wear on their forehead, like a headband across his forehead. And it said on one row, Kodesh Lamed, and above that it said Hashem's name. And then we quoted from Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yossi, who said he saw it in Rome. And then we opened the Gemara that told us the whole story of how they ended up in Rome with the emperor's daughter that got ill, and Bartalmion that appeared on the ship's mast and came to help Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And how when they cured the emperor's daughter, so he allowed them to go into the secret chambers and to see the treasures and to see also the vessels of the Beit HaMikdash. And from there, Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yossi testified that he saw the tzitz and it was written in one row, Kodesh Lashem. And then we raised the issue of whether the vessels of the temple are in the Vatican. Here it would definitely seem like many of the vessels were retained by the Roman Empire, the vessels of the Second Temple. So that's what we saw last time. Do you want us to expand a little bit or move forward? Move forward? Yeah, okay. Onward with Gemara Shabbos. The Ein Yaakov of Shabbos. So we have the people who went to war against Midian. If you recall, at the end of the 40 years in the desert, the Jews camped near the Jordan in a place called Arvot Moav. It was just opposite Jericho. And we discussed this when we learned the book of Joshua and Judges, that the Jericho of the Tanakh, it seems pretty clear, is not the Jericho of today. The Jericho of Tanakh was right near the passing of the Jordan, it would seem. And so they camped opposite Jericho. It's even called the Jordan of Jericho. It seems very clear that Jericho controlled the Jordan. And so the Jews camped opposite Jericho. And then at that time, the Midianites and the Moabites decided they'd send their daughters to seduce the Jews because they knew that Hashem hates when Jews are promiscuous. People have to be faithful to their wives, and they were not. And then people died. And then Hashem told them, go to war and do a terrorist attack on the Midianites. And the Jews unexpectedly conquered the whole territory. They were expected to just do an attack, a show of protest. And before they knew it, they had conquered everything. So when they returned from the war, they said to Moshe, something extraordinary happened. We left 12,000 men, 12,000 soldiers. We came back, 12,000 soldiers. When we saw no one fell at battle, we decided we have to bring a sacrifice to Hashem. And so we took whatever we captured at war. V'nakrevet korban Hashem, the verse says. We've brought forth the sacrifice before Hashem. Every person brought from the loot, whether he found tabat, agil, v'chumaz, the different jewelry we found at war. Now, our sages say, why did they bring those items? So our sages say, they said, none of us fell. We all knew that we hadn't transgressed. Even when we went and captured the Midianites, none of us transgressed. But nonetheless, they said, we want atonement. And Moshe asked them why, and that we will see, the Gemara will explore all of that. So we begin. The verse says, we brought all these different jewelry. Amar Rabbi Elazar, agil zetfus shel tadin. The word agil in modern Hebrew means an earring. That's what Ben Yehuda gave it. But agil in Tanakh, in the Torah, says Rabbi Eliezer, was something that took the shape of the woman's breast. They wore these, that was the jewelry. Kumaz, by the way, we have a rule. We're supposed to speak in clean language. Except when we learn Torah, if something won't be understood, if you don't use the direct word to describe it, so then it says make sure people understand what the Torah says, even if you have to use explicit language. Kumaz, so the Gemara says, Zedfus shel beit arechem. That was a piece of jewelry that they wore on their most private part. There was jewelry that they wore over the, it would seem, over the pubic area, but it covered their most private region. Now, the I remember as a kid when we went to Phillipsburg Manor. This was a place that they saved in the way in ancient times a manor looked in the days of the pilgrims. So they showed us that when the men would go out to war, they would put a lock on their wives, which would cover her most private part to ensure that she wouldn't be with any other man. I guess that's what it was called, the chastity belt. I don't know if that's what's going on here, because it sounds like it was a piece of jewelry that the women wore down there. That was called kumaz. Amar Rav Yosef commented on that. Iachi hainu demetargeminan machuch. So Rav Yosef said maybe that's why it's translated as machuch, something that brings to, so we would have thought machuch means brings to joking. Rav Yosef says, davar ha-mevi lidei gichuch. It's something that brings, I don't know how to translate the word gichuch, lightheadedness. So that's the translation of kumaz. Amar le Rabba, who was Rav Yosef's contemporary, said to him, megufei dekra. From the verse itself, you can infer what the piece of jewelry kumaz is. Because why is it called kumaz? Kumaz is a conjunction of three words. Kan, mekom, zima. This is the place of promiscuity. So that's what kan, mekom, zima is shortened to kumaz. So we continue. Vayiktzof Moshe al pikudei hachayil. Moshe got upset at the generals who led the men to war. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Abba Ravahu. Moshe said to the Jewish people, Moshe said, you brought back all these girls. Have you repeated your mistakes? You're offering a sacrifice. Is it that during war some of you cheated on your wives and went with these Midianite girls? They said, no, we didn't lose a soldier in this war. And so our sages say that has dual meaning. It means it was a miraculous war that no one died. It was also a testimony that no one transgressed with all these girls. Here they captured all these girls. No one transgressed with them. Amar lehem in ken kapara lama. So Moshe said to them, then why are you bringing an atonement? Amru lo, im midei avera yatzanu, midei hiru lo yatzanu. So these people said, we were all clean. No one sinned with the girls of Midian. But we can't say that we didn't think about sinning, that our minds didn't wander in that direction. Here these girls are coming all dressed up, trying to seduce us. So we know ourselves. On the one hand, none of us sinned. On the other hand, we can't say we were clean in our thoughts when we saw all these girls. And that's why we all came to donate an offering of atonement. And I find this Gemara to be one of the most fascinating Gemaras. Because our sages say about the verse of the Song of Songs, it says, "Shinayich ke'eder harechelim." Your teeth are perfect, like a bunch of sheep, shalu min harachza, that are coming out of being washed. Shekulam matimot v'shekulam mehem. They're all sitting perfectly. You have perfect teeth, and there's nothing wrong with your teeth. So too, these soldiers were perfect. They all went out to war. They all came back alive. It shows us they were all perfect. So it always encourages me, because you see, they were perfect, and their perfection was in their ability to be honest and say, we had improper thoughts. And that doesn't take away from their perfection. Meaning, sometimes we hold ourselves to such a high standard, we say, why did my mind wander down that road? Shouldn't I have been on a higher level? So sometimes the answer is yes, you should have stopped your thoughts from going there. And sometimes the answer is, be normal. You see, these people are called the perfect soldiers. When King Solomon in the Song of Songs wants to praise Israel, he speaks about them. And we see that in heaven they were held to such a high level that no one fell. They had a miraculous war. They all came back alive. And yet they said, in truth, we know that our thoughts wandered, so we're asking for atonement. And this, to me, is always an encouragement. Yeah?
It's fascinating, like you say, because what made the accomplishment so great is that there was something to overcome. If they hadn't had the thought, then that accomplishment wasn't much of a test for them. It's like you said a few weeks ago, which I still think is fantastic what you were here, which was like, you know, if you're a father and you have a daughter, and some guy comes to you and says, you know, I want you to know how strong I am every day, you know, I just want to murder people that I never have. You're not going to want to give your daughter, but he may be much greater than the guy who's, you know, has to resist cookies or afford helping. But Right, but it's still like just because the thing is greater doesn't necessarily want it. And here too, the goal is not to have those thoughts. But if they didn't have those thoughts, then resisting would have been no big deal.
Okay, I hear. I'm just saying we sometimes are upset at ourselves because we say, I shouldn't have even thought that. And here we see that didn't take away from their perfection.
Right. I guess you said it before. I don't think you have a choice to think about it. You have a choice to keep it in your mind. Because you can't hold two thoughts at once.
Yeah.
Put it out. They come back.
Tana de Be'er Rabbi Yishmael. We have a quote from the Academy of Rabbi Yishmael. Mipnei ma hutzichu Yisrael shebaoto dor kapara. Why is it that the Jews of that generation needed atonement? Mipnei shezano einehem min erva. Because they feeded their eyes of things that should have been covered, things that were uncovered. And Rashi over here, to my mind, is very insightful. Rashi says, why is it that we call looking at things that we shouldn't be looking at, why do we call it zan? So I always thought it was from the term znut, until I came to this Rashi. Rashi says that zanu enehem comes from the word mazon, and they feeded their eyes, which sounds like our eyes are hungry. There's a certain element where a person wants to see the things that are covered. A person wants to see things he knows his eyes shouldn't be seeing. And when he sees them, it's like a hungry person eating. There's an element where a person is satiated. He's feeding himself with that. Torah says you shouldn't be looking there. Torah says, be with your wife. Find a permissible way to feed yourself. But the idea that Chazal termed it as zan, to feed yourself, Rashi says that's telling us there's an element where a person's hungry for it like food. And he's feeding himself the same way a person feeds himself. That doesn't make it permissible. Rambam writes in preparation for Yom Kippur, there are certain things that are very difficult to do tshuva for. One of them is seeing improper things, because the Rambam says you don't feel like I did anything. So I saw something, so I looked. Okay, we don't feel like we did something wrong. That's why the Rambam says it's difficult to do tshuva, because it's hard to convince ourselves that I shouldn't have done it. But the truth is that we're not supposed to be looking there. Rashi gives us this insight. That's why it's called Zanu Einehem. They needed atonement because they did feed their eyes of what they shouldn't. Yeah. They looked. They didn't just see. Yeah. And the concluding line is Amar Rav Sheshat. Rav Sheshat said, and Rav Sheshat, just like Rav Yosef, who we quoted earlier, couldn't see. He was visually impaired. He had no eyesight. Why does the verse list the external jewelry with the internal jewelry? We spoke about the most intimate jewelry together with the most external jewelry. Why? Lomar lecha, to teach you. If a person stares at a woman's pinky, but he's looking at it because he's hungry, he's looking at it because he's taking it in and he wants to connect to her beauty, so then kilu mistakel b'kum atupa, he should know that that's looking at her most private part. A person's not allowed to stare. That's what we always discuss. You're allowed to see. You're not allowed to look at. You're not allowed to take in the beauty of another woman. You're supposed to take in the beauty of your own wife. You're not supposed to take in the beauty of another woman. And that's why the Pasuk lists both forms of jewelry together to remind us that we're not supposed to look at the external jewelry either. There's halacha, you see your neighbor hanging out the laundry. You see your neighbor's laundry hanging out. Don't go staring at the clothing the woman wore. We all know where our minds can go. The halacha says, you see animals mating. Don't stand and stare, because a person's mind wanders. It says if that's your job, you know, if your job is to help animals mate, then you're okay. You're busy doing your work. But short of that, there are things that arouse a person's thought in the wrong direction. What did we learn today? We learned about the kumaz. We learned about the jewelry agil, the external jewelry that they wore. We learned that Moshe was upset at them. Why they bring atonement? Did they transgress with the girls of Moab? And they said, no, we're bringing atonement for our thoughts. And we saw that that's considered still perfection, where a person realizes they shouldn't have had those thoughts. We learned the term to look at is called zan, to feed one's eyes. And we learned that a person isn't supposed to feed one's eyes, even of a woman's pinky. You're not supposed to be staring at to absorb her beauty. We are allowed to see women. We're not supposed to stare at, look at them.